Time for a sofa upgrade? Introducing Anabe Sofas, where designer style meets budget-friendly prices. Every Anabe sofa is modular, allowing you to rearrange your space effortlessly. Perfect for both small and large spaces, Anabe is the only machine-washable sofa inside and out. Say goodbye to stains and messes with liquid and stain-resistant fabrics that make cleaning easy. Liquids simply slide right off. Designed for custom comfort, our high-resilience foam lets you choose between a sink-in feel or a supportive memory foam blend. Plus, our pet-friendly, stain-resistant fabrics ensure your sofa stays beautiful for years. Don't compromise quality for price. Visit washablesofas.com to upgrade your living space today. Sofas start at just $699 with no-risk returns and a 30-day money-back guarantee. Get early access to Black Friday now. The biggest sale of the year can save you up to 60% off, plus free shipping and free returns. Shop now at washablesofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
Hi, and welcome to the Mom Struggling Well podcast. My name is Emily Thomas, and I am a mom on a mission to get a new perspective. Y'all, I am not proud of it, but I spent far too long waiting for my daily irritations to resolve before the good times can begin. And I'm thinking the struggles are just going to keep coming, so I might as well get a new plan. God promises if we persevere through our daily struggles, our character will be built and we'll end up with a hope that doesn't disappoint. And I don't know about you, but my hardest days happen when I've lost sight of that hope. So if that's your story too, join me each week as I interview someone who has passed from just struggling to struggling well. Oh guys, welcome back. Christmas just happened, and I hope you're enjoying the break between Christmas and New Year's. It is bicycles and transformers and makeup all day long over here. We are just enjoying the toys. I think my husband and I are enjoying them just as much as the kids are. We're mainly enjoying seeing my daughter put on as much makeup as she possibly can. It's pretty funny. Dallas has been hit with a bunch of tornadoes and all kinds of nonsense. It's so sad. And so we're all cooped up and having a very lot of together time. It is largely going well. But honestly, the song lyrics and mom and dad can hardly wait for school to start again, they may have been going around in my head all day long today, if that's any indication of how we're doing. But let's not dwell on all of that. I am so excited to introduce you to my remarkably darling and super wise friend, Erin Hall. She is one of those gems who doesn't even know how awesome she is. She is all about encouraging women to be more healthy, both spiritually and physically. In this interview, she graciously shares with us something that she hasn't really talked about a lot, her nearly decade-long battle with anorexia. And if you have an eating disorder as part of your story, you're really gonna be encouraged by her wise words. But listen, if you're like me and you've never actually struggled with a full-blown eating disorder, I bet you still have a hang-up or seven with your relationship with food. I know that I do. If you are solid in your food situation, though, don't worry. You're still going to love hearing from Erin. In this episode, we cover the one word that she needed to have on her new tattoo, her journey towards health, and how she deals with her tendency to want to overprotect her kids, and where she finds balance and all that. I can't wait for you to hear from her. Let's go ahead and get started. Hi, Erin. Welcome to the show. How are you doing today?
Good. How are you, Emily?
I'm good. I was just working out and I wasn't really feeling it, but I was doing it.
Yes.
Because I knew I was supposed to. And then the DVD player ate my DVD.
No.
And then it was over. So.
Well.
I was kind of happy.
Time to quit. Yeah. Time to cool down. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Water break.
Very abrupt cool down. Yes. So tell the listeners, who exactly are you, please?
My name is Erin, and my husband and I have two kids. We have a 10-year-old daughter and a 7-year-old son, and we live here in the Dallas area. Mm-hmm. I work for the seed company.
Yes.
And I'm one of the hostesses of the Declare Conference.
You're the starter of it, yes? Just humble, yeah. Whatever. It was you. How many years has that been going on? Is it 4 or 5?
5 years. The 2016 conference will be the 6th.
Oh, my goodness.
I know.
I don't know if you've heard any of the other episodes, but I think I reference the Declare Conference every single time. It's one of my personal goals.
Thank you.
We will pay you later.
No.
Good. Thank you.
Affiliate program.
That's funny. So the first question I want to ask you is a very important one. If you could learn one random skill, what would it be?
Well, okay, so there's many skills that I want to learn, right? But the most random, probably at the top of my list, you know, the trend that's kind of on Instagram and Pinterest right now. No, the fancy braiding, like side braiding your bangs and like all these crazy braid twists.
Yeah.
I want to learn how to do that. I haven't put any effort into trying to learn that, but I would love to know how to do that just off the top of my head.
That's great. And that's just an example of Pinterest. I mean, I love it and it's great. And I get on there sometimes, but it just makes us realize like regular braids, those aren't good enough anymore. You know what I mean? We had to braid our bangs.
What? I thought I was good until I saw these pretty side braids and
Good. Your hair is pretty long though. You can braid it, right?
I can do like just a regular braid, and my daughter has long hair too. So if I could learn this random skill, we would be so trendy.
You so would. And you mentioned something about crump. What does that mean? Is that how you say it?
Crump. Yeah, it's a style of dancing that is so crazy, and I've always wanted to learn it. It's weird. No one teaches it to like stay-at-home moms these days.
Who mainly crumps?
Oh, hip hoppers.
Okay.
Crump. Oh, you can look it up on YouTube. There's some fun videos there. Okay. But it's just a different style of dance that's kind of hardcore hip hop.
Okay.
And
because you already like those types of dancing.
I do hip hop dancing now, but it's kind of clean and Zumba and style. And
is crumping not clean?
Fitness style. Oh no, crumping is clean. It's just, well, I mean, you'll have to look it up and see. It's kind of gritty, not dirty, but like gritty style of dance.
There you go.
You need to look it up. There's this girl on So You Think You Can Dance last season named Yaya, and she was a crumper. And I was just so inspired by her. I wanted to learn it. Yeah. So that's the other random skill on the top of my list.
You know, I was thinking of what my answer would be, and I came up with nothing. And not really. But then I dug deep and I came up with, I want to learn how to make a chicken breast that's not dry.
Oh,
I know it's not exciting, but my husband refuses to eat chicken breasts because mine are not good and
they cannot dry. Yeah.
But I think that dark meat is gross. And so it's only been 10 years that we've been having this problem, this fissure in
the center
of our marriage.
It's tricky. And it does take a certain amount of skill.
And I don't know how to do it. So,
chicken makes me so nervous because I've served it raw too many times or dry too many times.
I know. I don't know if you saw when I gave my kids straight up raw chicken. I microwaved it. I thought it was regular chicken nuggets and they were not regular. They were raw and they wouldn't eat it. And I told them they need to quit being so picky and they're not getting anything else for dinner because I didn't try it because I wasn't eating that. And anyway, so it was completely raw. So now they ask me every single time if I actually cooked the chicken. I have a reputation.
Well, that I did the same thing. So it was right after Jeff and I got married and I was trying to be, you know, great wife
so
and have dinner ready.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I made some chicken and had it on the table when he came home, and he cut into it and it was like bleeding.
Oh.
It was so pink and gooey and I felt awful.
How did you take that? Did you get mad? Did you cry? Like what did you do?
I cried. I felt awful. And then I quit buying chicken. I quit cooking it. I would buy the rotisserie chickens already cooked, you know, from the store and serve that instead. I was just so nervous. I mean, probably for a good 4 or 5 years, I did not cook chicken. I made him do it. If he wanted chicken, he was going to have to grill it or something. I'm just like getting over that.
That's good. You're making progress, Erin.
I am. So yeah, that's a skill that everyone should learn.
Yeah. Yes. So I saw that you just got a tattoo on your birthday.
I did. I've known for a long time that I wanted this word tattooed on my body. The word held just means a lot to me. When bloggers started doing that one word thing, held was already my one word. And it wasn't just for a year. It was just my word. Yeah, forever. My forever word. And so it just has always been my word that I go to for just to be reminded that I'm held, that God holds me close always, and he'll never let go, ever, ever. Isaiah 41:10 was the verse that really inspired it. And it says, "Fear not, for I am with you. Do not be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you, and I will hold you with my righteous right hand." Mm. I just remember that anytime I'm feeling down or discouraged, you know what? I'm held regardless. No matter what's going on, I can stand firm in my faith because God's not going anywhere. He's not going to let go of me.
Yes. And Andrea Howie.
Yes,
wrote
she
it.
Did. I reached out to her because I knew when we went into the tattoo shop, there would be all these fonts, you know, and even though Old English would be really like cool, it wasn't really the font that I was going for on my arm. I wanted something really different and not my own handwriting, though. So I reached out to Andrea and she was like, "Yes, I would love to do that for you." So she so graciously drew up like 10 designs of the word. And I just chose my favorite off the page and took it in. And Andrea's handwriting and my favorite word.
So good.
With me forever.
So do you regret? Do you regret it at all? Like, I know it just happened, but is there any part of you that's like, it's not coming off?
Oh gosh, no,
that's
not at
so
all.
Good.
It's not my first tattoo. So.
Oh, I did not know that. Erin Hall, the gritty, crumpin' tattooed girl. I never would have known.
No, I don't regret this at all. I don't regret my other ones either. It means something to me. All my tattoos mean something to me, and I think about them a lot. They've never been spontaneous, rash decisions.
Well, I have two tattoos. Well, I had two tattoos. My first one, I was 18, and I have always loved rainbows my whole life. That's all I ever drew as a child. And so on my 18th birthday, I got a rainbow tattoo. And, you know, there were some connotations that at the time did not, they did not have, the rainbow was just a rainbow. And anyway, and then I got my eyebrow pierced and then I got really short hair. And then for some reason, I do not know why, people thought I was a lesbian. I didn't know. I honestly,
one told you.
I didn't know. Mm-hmm. I had no idea. Mm-hmm. And though, so then, and for some reason, everybody also thinks I'm from Oregon and a vegetarian. So I got lots of stereotypes thrown at me that I did not maybe even know I was sending out some vibes I didn't know I was sending out. So things got a little confusing, if I can just say that. But then also, like you said, you thought about your tattoos. There was this one night in college where I was like, oh my gosh, we're so bored. So I went and got a tattoo. Not a good idea. And I immediately regretted it. It was when all the Chinese characters were a thing.
Yes.
I did not know in the future I was going to move to China where people could actually read it.
Oh, gosh. What is yours mean? I have
it
one
said
too.
That I was a Christian.
Oh.
Just not the most Chinese thing to be. Anyway, both my tattoos kind of didn't quite pan out. Mm-hmm. So I'm glad yours is working for you.
Yeah. My first one is a Chinese character, too.
And is it?
Yeah, but it was something that I thought about and talked about with my mom and, you know.
So good. Yeah, mine was really big. And I don't know. It was one of those things where as soon as I did it, I'm like, that was not a great
idea. Did you have it removed? You're talking about it like you don't have
I have both of them removed. And now I'm totally dying to get a third one. And for some reason, my husband doesn't think it's a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
No,
you
he's
might
totally
it.
Right.
Because your track record.
Mm-hmm. It's not a good record, Erin. So funny.
That's all right. It's fun.
It is. Well, I'm right now, I love the Armed with Truth ones that I can just put on. And
yeah, those are great.
Take them right off. So, yes.
They're great.
So, I wanted to ask you about your history of some body image stuff. You've been starting to talk about it a little bit. I think I read about it one time on your blog. I don't know how I know about it. Did you write about it?
Well, I did. Yes. I got really brave in 2010, and that was only 5 years into my recovery from body image disorders. And I got really brave in 2010 and blogged about my recovery and how it all happened, you know, when it started and how I felt and in the midst of it and how I came out of it.
Tell us that story.
Okay, sure. I am more brave now about talking about it. So I'm getting braver as the years go on.
Yeah, you can do it.
Yeah. Well, I just see other people sharing their testimony on really like more difficult things that they've been through. And I think, gosh, come on, Erin. You don't have to keep this. This is not that big of a deal. You can.
Well, listen, you got to understand, though, that it's a huge deal for you if it's a huge deal for you.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right. Well, so when I was in college, I developed an eating disorder. I was anorexic and had body dysmorphic disorder.
Tell me about that.
Which is basically you don't know you look in the mirror and you don't see what's, you don't really see what's reflected. So I would look in the mirror and see myself as chubby, really fat, like just in my body. I didn't see my body for the way that it was, when in actuality, I was under 100 pounds and just frail and sick. But I would look in the mirror and all I saw was like this really fat girl looking back at me and fat self. And so that's body dysmorphic disorder kind of in a nutshell.
Did that all start at the same time, or had you always seen yourself
different? It all kind of hit at once. In high school, I dabbled in diet pills and laxatives and that sort of thing just because everyone else was doing it. It wasn't in my emotions that I felt fat or needed to be skinny, or, you know, that wasn't really deep in me. It was more just that's what everyone was doing. But once I got to college, I think I was missing something in my life. Here's the thing. I did not have a relationship with the Lord. Okay. I didn't know what God thought about me. And so that was missing in my life. And out on my own in college, here I was without God and without any foundation of how to take care of myself. Mm-hmm. I didn't know the food groups. I didn't know why we needed protein or fruits, vegetables. I just saw food as the enemy because it made people fat.
In general.
In general. It was so disordered my thinking now that I look back on it. So those two things were missing in my life, and that together plus the pressures of being in college and being on my own, and it just all was just the perfect storm.
What helped you know that you had a problem? Like,
it wasn't until after I got married, we were starting to talk about starting a family. And I went to see a doctor to get a physical, and she looked me in the eye and said, you know, you can't take care of a baby if you can't even take care of yourself. And I knew what she was talking about. She knew without even us knowing each other that she knew that I had a disorder, that I was sick and unhealthy and not taking care of myself.
Just because of being a low weight?
Yeah, just the way I looked. My hair was thin. I didn't have regular menstrual cycles. Like, I had all the telltale signs.
How many years had it been at this point?
About 8 years.
8 years of
eight, having... 7 or 7 to 8 years of having an eating disorder and body dysmorphic disorder.
Okay.
And my husband didn't know. My family didn't know.
Really? How did you hide that?
It's terrible. Lots of layers of clothing.
Okay.
I moved my food around on the plate a lot.
Okay. So, so you want to be thin, but at this, and you think that you're heavy, but at the same time, you know that you're so thin that you need to hide, right?
Right.
So that's interesting.
I liked it when people would say, you're so skinny. That almost fed the disease more, even if they were saying it in a negative way.
Okay.
I took it as this is working.
Okay.
But still, I would look in the mirror and see there's more work to be done. And I would go in public bathrooms and do jumping jack, like hundreds of jumping jacks in the middle of Walmart or wherever I was.
Just
to burn more calories.
It's almost like a compulsion. Like it just becomes an obsession. Okay. I'm sorry. Yeah. I don't know. No. So I'm asking probably dumb questions, but
no, it's not dumb at all. I know it's very like complicated and convoluted and so ugly, but
so was that the turning point when the doctor said this?
Was that the turning point was when she said, you know, you can't take care of a baby if you can't even take care of yourself. And I went home and just thought, you know what? She's right. Why am I doing this to myself? And how bad do I want a baby? Is it worth it to me to eat normal, like eat to get pregnant or not? And so I remember praying, and I did the kind of praying where it was like, God, if you'll do this for me, I'll do this for you. You know,
transactional.
That's the only kind of relationship I had had with the Lord up until this point.
So at this point, you're still not a Christian. You wouldn't say.
No. I went to church in high school and answered the altar call once, like on an Easter Sunday or something. But that's as far as it went. I had a Bible, but I barely cracked it open.
Okay.
But yeah, so I did the prayer, God, please give us a baby and I'll promise I'll eat. And I didn't know if I was going to be able to hold up my end of the bargain, you know, but I was kind of waiting to see what God was going to do. I ended up getting pregnant really easily and found a doctor. And the doctor, again, was like, you know what, if you want your baby to grow healthy, you're going to have to get healthy yourself. And so it was hard.
Had you told your husband at this point?
No.
Okay.
No, I still hadn't. But I was pregnant. And so I started eating because now my daughter meant so much to me. You know, growing, and I did not want to do anything to hurt her or harm her. And I did not want her to have the same body image disorder that I had. So I started eating, and it was hard. And like, I remember my mouth wanted to reject food. Like I would take a bite and even my tongue like would kind of push it out. You know, like my reflexes were so not used to swallowing that much food. But I did it all just on my own. Every meal was a struggle, but it was a fight that I was willing to fight for. And around the same time was when I realized God did this for me and I really need to step up my game and show him my thanks. So after my daughter was born and healthy and I had a great pregnancy and I had a better relationship with food, I started studying food just on my own, learning all about where it comes from, you know, where food is sourced, what is sodium, what is cholesterol, what is good food, and why do we need it? Why do our bodies eat it? And how can I eat healthy and not be afraid of food? Okay. And what do I need to be eating? And so I studied food. I became kind of like a nutritionist for myself without the official title or whatever. But I did it, just did it because I knew if I didn't learn about food and why I needed it, then I would slip back into those old habits because now the baby was born, right? And so I can do with my body whatever I want again.
Yes. Did that happen a little bit or not really?
No, it didn't. I think because I was stronger and I felt like I needed to give thanks to God and I use my body to thank him. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I started going to church and I took my daughter to church with me. My husband didn't go at the time and I started to learn more. So not only was I learning more about food and nutrition and health, like getting my body healthy, I also started learning more about the Lord and reading the Bible and what did salvation mean? And I started going to church and surrounding myself with people who were Christians, like strong Christians. And I just started getting healthy from the inside out.
Yeah.
It was definitely a day-to-day journey or, you know, struggle, but I pulled myself through it. And with the Lord, obviously, I mean, he pulled me through it. And
did you ever go to, it doesn't sound like you needed any kind of inpatient treatment or anything like that?
No, I did not. I was hospitalized early in the eating disorder for, I had strep throat and then it got infected and got into my bloodstream. I had rheumatic fever.
Wow.
And they did find that there was some stress on my heart and some blood issue that was related to the eating disorder, to anorexia. Yeah. But I didn't have all the signs at that time. And so they didn't ever say anything to my parents about that.
Okay.
Thankfully. So I was just treated for rheumatic fever. But I remember being scared in the hospital. Okay, doctors can find this out. And so no, thankfully, no, I never had to be, I was never hospitalized for the eating disorder. I never even saw a counselor for the eating disorder. I really just turned to the Lord. I mean, he's so good. Like everything is right there. You know what I mean? His word is just so full of all the promises and truths about me and my worth to him. And
yeah,
that's all I needed. It was enough.
So kind of reshaping your identity was key to all of this.
Yes.
Okay. So 2015, though, is it still something that you kind of have to guard against or not really?
I do have to guard against. I keep learning about food and the latest in, you know, food findings. So like gluten and MSG, like all the things. I want to learn all the things. What is carrageenan and why should we not eat that? What's happening with soy? Where are our foods being processed? You know, all these things. I'm constantly wanting to learn those things and then just keep myself healthy by eating healthy and exercising, and then also really trying to model that for my kids.
Yes.
I don't find myself slipping that much, but I do have, you know, scripture posted around as a reminder.
Okay.
You know.
At what point did you tell your husband? Like, at what point did this kind of come out?
I didn't tell my husband until 2010, right before I published it on my blog.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. And he was so good and supportive. And he was like, okay, I think I probably knew this, but I think you're really brave and I'm proud of you for coming through it. He really didn't say a lot. That was it. And then around that same time, I also told my best friend, we've been best friends since we were 13. And she was like, yeah, I kind of knew.
Okay.
The people that I told when it first came out weren't really surprised.
Okay. About the food thing, you like to learn about it. I know the more I learn about it, the more I feel like, well, I can't eat anything. You know, it kind of becomes very scary or overwhelming. Mm-hmm. How do you balance that?
Yeah, you're right. It is, because if you're out at the mall or running errands or traveling or whatever, it's hard to eat and feel good about it, I think. I just try to remember to eat clean. And if my food can't be traced back to its source, then I try to avoid it. It takes a lot of pre-planning too. So when I go to the grocery store and I buy my fruits and vegetables, and I make sure I cut them up and pre-package them at home.
Okay.
So that way, if I am going to be on the go, I can just grab and go. So I love the mason jar salads. Those are fantastic for on the go. Like today, I came home with a bunch of cucumbers and sliced them up and put them in little Tupperware cups that this week, if I need to run out, I can just grab a cup and take it with me and have a little quick snack on the go. And they have little hummus in containers that's clean, little avocados in little to-go containers that's clean.
I did not know about that.
Yeah. So it's right next to the guacamole, but I know, but it's just pure avocado. So it's just a learn as you go type thing.
Okay. You know? So when you say clean, just for if people don't always understand what that means.
Not processed foods.
Okay. Just not processed.
I mean, I would love to take you to the grocery store with me and show you the stuff that I buy and feed our family on non-processed foods. And they are totally fine with it.
They are.
Yeah.
How do you?
Well, they don't.
Go ahead.
They don't know a lot of different.
That's true. I have been on play dates with you and you are eating some pretty awesome things while my kids eat Chick-fil-A. But
weird.
It's all right.
Yeah.
It's all right. Yeah. I try, but it doesn't always go over well. But I think you're right. Just a thing at a time and see what works. And
yeah. And then there's so much grace too. Like we eat Chick-fil-A every once in a while. But it's not the norm.
I find that if I use vegetables as currency and you can have this thing you want if you eat three of this, and they don't even argue anymore. They're like, okay, right. That makes sense. My mom's crazy. So yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And the more you do that, they'll finally just like take a bite on their own without you having to say
they
something.
Know, and they'll be like, okay, mom, they come to me with their, I've done this, I've eaten this,
yep.
I had five of these, can I please have a piece of candy?
Sure. Yeah.
So, okay. Oh my goodness. So you mentioned that one of your mom's struggles is balancing protecting the kids and overprotecting the kids.
Yes.
Yeah, I get it. I totally get it.
Yeah. Please tell me I'm not alone in that. Sometimes I feel like the craziest helicopter mom in the bunch.
No, it's hard. And I think it's funny because the things I don't get freaked out about, I watch other people freak out about. But then on the other side of the coin, like, I really freak out about some things that other people are like, oh, calm down.
Isn't that funny? I find myself doing the same thing. Like my kids haven't ridden in the car with anybody except for us, you know, and my mom once, I think I let her take them in her car one time without me. And like a neighbor, because it was an emergency situation. Okay. But other than that, I like freak out at the thought of them riding in the car with somebody else without me there.
Yeah. Well, that can be very scary. Cars.
It's weird,
Yeah. My thing is TV, and I feel like they need to not watch any TV. And I let them watch TV, but it's very, very limited. And even some of my really good friends are like, you know, it's not going to kill him if you put him in front of the TV for like an hour while you do that thing. I think, oh, okay.
You know, I'm the same though. We have really strict screen time rules over here.
Yeah. So what are they?
The TV is never on during the day. Mm-hmm. We homeschool. So we are here and we are doing schoolwork and we are doing chores. And if we're not doing those two things, we're usually running errands or at martial arts or dance class. Mm-hmm. So there's really no time for TV in the day.
Right.
They do have their own little gadgets, their little iPhone and their tablet, but they can't have that until everything is done in the day. Chores, schoolwork, everything is done. And really, it's like 30 minutes.
Yeah. Frankly, we don't have a lot of time for it either. And I think it's good.
It's fine. Now, this past weekend, my mom was visiting and all rules fly out the window when she's around. And they were on their phones and they watched like two movies each day. I mean, I was like, oh my gosh. So this week, I'm like, kids, we're taking a fast from our phones and don't even ask.
Yeah.
But yeah, the protective thing, that's probably my biggest mom struggle, because I always feel like it's a fine line between being a helicopter mom or being like so lax that you are putting them at risk for danger, you know?
Yeah. So what do you do? How do you figure it out?
I just have to take it one circumstance at a time and be like, okay, I have to think through all the risk involved. And then how can I protect them from that? And then let them go and just trust that they'll be okay.
Yeah.
I don't go on bike rides with my family. My husband takes the kids on bike rides all the time. And I just choose not to go because it freaks me out, frankly. I'm scared that my son, my little one, is going to fall and hurt himself. And here's the thing. When he cuts himself and is bleeding, he's a fainter.
Oh.
So that's like a whole thing. Like if he falls off his bike, which is likely,
right.
and scrapes his elbow or knee, which is likely, right. there's going to be blood.
Yeah.
Which means there's going to be a faint, which means yeah. mom's going to come to the rescue. You know, it's just so stressful for me okay. to even, I just don't even put myself in that situation. I'm like, y'all go ahead and have fun. I would rather be folding laundry than stressing about you falling off your bike.
Right.
So
yeah. Are there friends that you ask, or how do you seek wisdom in the balancing of the protecting? Because it can be really scary.
It is scary. I do kind of poll my friends, mm-hmm. you know, and see what they would do. But then I still make my own decision just based on like knowing my kids and what they're capable of and what they know, you know, right from wrong sort of thing. They can discern certain situations. But yeah, I do. I poll my friends a lot, you know. Hey, we have this party coming up and it's at the trampoline park. Have you ever been? What is it like? You know,
yeah.
should I be scared.
Yeah. One of our things right now where we're thinking no, but our kids are really small still, is a bunch of slumber parties, because I know we were not up to anything good when I went to slumber parties.
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. now I sound like I'm 100, but things are scarier now than they were, I think, when we were that age. And no. I don't know. We've already just told yeah. them that's not going to happen.
Yeah. We made that very hard decision. I think it was last year when my daughter was 9, when we started getting more and more invitations to sleepovers.
Okay.
It was really hard because I want her to have friends and I want her to have fun and do the things that little girls are doing mm-hmm. kind of to a point, right?
Yeah.
So we just made a decision that no, we will have sleepovers. We can invite people over here, your friends to sleep over here, but okay. you're not going. I'll go with you if it's appropriate.
Okay.
And we can do it that way. I've done it that way before. And that's really fun because I'm there and I'm having fun with the mom friend.
Yeah, that's true. They need some help.
Yeah, exactly. While my daughter's still there and I can be hands off, you know, I don't hover while we're there, you know, but I'm there if she needs me or if she starts to feel uncomfortable or homesick, I'm still there. So that worked out really well.
Okay, that's a good solution.
And we've also done where she'll go to sleepover until 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock at night, and then I'll go pick her up or whatever and bring her home. Because really, after that hour, what are they doing?
Nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing good.
Nothing good happens after what, I don't know, I think my husband says midnight. It's like nothing good happens after midnight. And so
yeah.
that's so true. Come back, sleep in your own bed, and then she's home in the morning and happy. You know, if they stay the night too, they come home, they're so grouchy because they stayed up all night, and
yes.
the whole next day is just shot. So. It's just
right.
Yeah.
How does that go over with her though? Is she like, that's a great mom?
It was really hard.
I think that's such a good idea. Yeah.
It was really hard the first time that she was invited to a sleepover and I only let her go mm-hmm. till 11, I think it was.
Mm-hmm.
She was upset with me, but I was just very honest with her and just told her that a lot of good things happen at sleepovers. I mean, in this situation, there were like 10 girls. And mm-hmm. so there was a lot of opportunity for little clicks to happen. Mm-hmm. She didn't know. She only knew one of the girls there. So, you know, I just had a really good heart to heart with her and just told her where I was coming from and prayed with her that she would understand where we were coming from and that we would find a solution to this. And that was it. I mean, really, we have the authority as parents to make those decisions.
Yeah.
But then the responsibility to deal with their little hearts. So I did take care of to do that as best as I could. It's so hard, though. Like you said, it's not like when we were kids. It was so easy to just go sleep over with whoever
yeah.
every weekend, right?
Right. All the time.
No.
And it wasn't anything, I mean, nothing terrible no. happened, but a lot of things that I wouldn't have normally.
No, things happen.
Yeah, no. things happen. Yeah. Enough said. I can't even talk about it.
Right.
So you.
It's a different podcast.
Yes. So you mentioned that you homeschool, but that you are transitioning your daughter into a different kind of school.
Yes.
Tell me about that thought. Why are you doing that?
Yeah, we're looking to enroll her in a university model school, which I think, don't your kids do
yes,
that?
They,
university model?
Uh-huh.
So she'll go to school 2 days a week and then homeschool 3 days a week. She is going into seventh grade next fall.
Okay.
And the school that we found is Christian University Model. So the classes are really small and she'll be with other kids who are Christian and who have been homeschooled most of their life also. It's a classical school as well. So it's mm-hmm. really like heavy on the Latin and the classics, the art and that sort of thing. And we're looking at it because in seventh grade, there's so much more that she could be learning, I think. And
okay.
the school can offer that teaching in a shorter time frame than I could at home with the 7-year-old and then with life just in general.
Yeah.
I mean, she has a good workload now that keeps us busy all day, but I think this school she could do even more. I think they have like 5 or 6 subjects that they cover in a day, and then she'll come home and do her homework with me on the off days. Okay. And so I really like that. We tried it in first grade and I didn't like it so well, but I think for these upper grade levels, she's ready for the social aspect of it. Okay. She's ready for the academic aspect of it. I want her to be ready for college, you know, mm-hmm. and learning how to learn.
Yeah.
I want her to, you know, learn how to learn in a classroom setting and then go home and be responsible for doing your work. So
great.
All those things combined have led us to this. So we have toured the school and she's put in the application. She has to do a placement test. And so, yeah, we're excited and nervous. It'll be a little change for our family, but I think it's a good change.
Okay. Now, because you homeschool full time mm-hmm. currently, that makes me nervous. That kind of gives me like the heebie-jeebies to think about mm-hmm. never having like a little bit of time off. How do you structure that so that you have some time for yourself? Or do you?
I do. Well, my kids are at a really great age right now where my daughter, she's 10. Like I said, she's doing 6th grade work and she's very independent. She can do her own work and grade her own work. And so really there's not a lot for me to do except for step in and help with instruction if she can't figure something out, or I'll go back over and look at her work after she's graded it and see what she's missing and kind of fill in the gaps there. And then the 7-year-old, he's doing 3rd grade work, which is needs a little bit more of my help explaining concepts and teaching new concepts especially. Mm-hmm. But there's also a lot of repeating and repetitive work in this grade level. So probably once a week, I'm doing one-on-one teaching with him in all the subjects that he does.
Okay.
And then the rest of the time, he has his assignments and he completes them. And really, I'm there to help him clarify things, or, you know, he's still learning how to spell. And so I help him spell things. And really, I'm really just here for guidance now. These are like great, great grades right now. I'm really...
Oh my gosh. Sounds great.
Yeah. We've made it through the hardest years for us were kinder, 1st and 2nd. They were all day one-on-one type, you know.
Yes.
But once they learn to read and write and spell, they can pretty much do most of it on their own.
I know that even if you don't have a homeschool, even if the listeners don't have kids at home who are homeschooling, homework can be just as hard. I mean, that's kind of what homeschool is, really. I mean, I don't
all day, basically.
Right. Yeah. So my daughter would prefer if I sit by her and just give her some quality time with my mm-hmm. presence,
mm-hmm.
Or she kind of just won't do her work.
Mm-hmm.
Are your kids like just excited about life?
No, gosh. Okay. So they are perfect angels. And no, Haley, my daughter, she's firstborn, just so organized and hops up and does her work. I wouldn't say she's excited about it, but she's diligent.
Okay.
She knows what needs to be done, and work before play, that sort of mindset. So I'm thankful for that. Josh, on the other hand, would rather play until the very last minute and then do his work. But he is like, it sounds like your daughter, where he would rather me be right beside him. And if I'm not, if I go change out the laundry, or if I'm busy cooking or working, he will kind of slack off.
Okay.
He doodles on his page a lot. So I just have to keep going over there. And if I can't be right next to him, I'm checking in on him every 5 minutes or something. And he does like, and try this maybe, a checklist. So,
okay.
Because what grade is your daughter in?
2nd.
She's doing 2nd grade? Yeah. So try this. I make a checklist for him, what needs to be done.
Okay.
And I put it in order of when, you know, when it needs to be done. And so he can see math and then explode the code and then science and then Bible and then handwriting and then playtime, Legos.
Okay.
You know, and then I add all the fun stuff at the end, but he can't get to those things until he, you know, finishes, checks off these top things, and that will keep him going. And I'll reference the checklist throughout the day, like, okay, where are we on the checklist? Or did you check off what you finished already? And how much longer? How many more things on your checklist? And so, yeah, that has been, and I don't know how I think he made a checklist for himself one day. And I was like, you like lists, do you? And so we've put that into practice lately, and that has been helpful at keeping him on task, even if I'm not sitting right beside him.
Yeah, that's
good. If I do have to sit beside him, I'll just bring my work next to him or find something that I can do side by side, like maybe my Bible study, you know, if I have a workbook or something, or open up my laptop and check through my emails. But I'm still right there and watching him if he is really needing my presence, I guess.
Yeah.
Ugh, I know.
It's tricky because I love school. And so she loves playing. It's different. Very different.
Yeah. It's very different.
So I have one final question for you. What is something that you just can't stop telling everybody about right now?
You know what? I actually started a blog post and I didn't publish it. So maybe instead of publishing it, I'll just share here.
Yeah. Hey.
Okay. So I got these new boots on Zulily.
Okay.
They are so cute. They're muckluck.
Okay.
And they have a really colorful Aztec print on the side, and then they're brown suede, and they have, they're like comfy boots, kind of like, you know, if you've been wearing Uggs for the last few years and you're kind of like wanting something a little different, these mucklucks are perfect. They're so soft and comfy, but yet they have that hard sole so you can wear them outside. Yeah, mucklucks.
Mucklucks. And they're cute. I'm looking at them right now.
Yeah, they are so cute and comfortable. I've worn them almost every day since I got them. And I got them on Zulily, so I know I got a deal, you know.
Okay, they're really cute. You know, though, I feel like you can pull things off that I can't quite
pull off. Oh, come on.
I think we're in a different...
No, come on. Try them. They're so cute. So there's that. And then the other thing I can't stop talking about, of course, is Beachbody, because I'm a coach and I'm very passionate about that, because I just love their 21-day fix program.
Yes.
Because I'm such a food nerd, and so is Beachbody. They have worked out the portion control for you so that you know how much of each food you need each day if you're doing these workouts. It's like so beautiful math. I love it.
It is. And they're cute. I tried doing it without the little containers, and the little containers make it so much more fun.
Yes. Yes. So I'm loving that.
All I need is a man or a woman, I don't care, to come over every day, and you're local, maybe it's you.
Prep your food.
At night, just in the evening. All I'm asking for is someone to come over every single day for free at night. That's not too much to ask. Because I just lose my whole brain by the end of the day, and I think cheese. So
no, you got to get that stuff out of your house. That's my trick.
Thank you. Just get
it out. Get your temptation out of the house.
Yes. For a while, my problem was pretzel rolls from Costco. And I literally had an accountability friend who I don't buy them anymore, but it took a friend that I would confess I bought the rolls.
My struggle was Nutella. If I had it in the house, I would find anything, even a spoon, to dip in it and eat it.
Absolutely.
At that time of day when you just need a little, you know, little love, just go get some Nutella. But then I stopped buying it, and hey, you know, good things happen.
Brilliantly, it stopped. Yeah, I need to do that. Maybe I don't need a person to come over every day.
No, you don't. You can do it.
Thank you, Erin.
There's so much grace. And, you know, even Autumn Calvius, who does the 21-day fix, she's like, have grace for yourself and have a cheat day every now and then.
Mm.
And then just pick back up. It's just getting that foundation knowledge in your brain and getting in the habit of portioning out your foods and not overdoing it in any of those categories, right?
Yes.
Don't overdo it in your yellow containers or your blue containers, but go ahead and you can go over in your purples, right?
Right. But I don't care. I don't care about going over my fruits.
Go over in your green containers. Uh-huh.
I don't like any of what you're saying right now. Oh my gosh. Well, Erin, thank you so much for being on the show today. I appreciate your vulnerability.
Hopefully it encourages other people who might be struggling and they didn't even know they were struggling. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's just so much freedom in knowing and having a good relationship with the Lord.
Yes.
So
awesome. Thank you, Erin. Yeah. I really appreciate you.
Thank you, Emily.
All right. We'll talk to you later.
Bye.
Bye. Okay. I don't know about you, but I love that. She's such a sweet friend. I'm glad that you got to hear from her. I just have to encourage you to check out the Declare Conference this summer in Dallas. You will not meet lovelier ladies anywhere. And her blog, mamahall.com. All these links, though, and anything else that we talked about are in the show notes for this episode. So go to momstrugglingwell.com and you'll find them. So don't worry if you missed anything. Everybody calm down. So what will you do this week? Based on Erin's words, I have two simple action plans in order to struggle well. Number one, I'm going to work with my girl to make a checklist for her homeschool days. The girl loves a list, just like her mama, and she loves control, just like her mama. And so this sounds like a winner. It will necessitate me giving up some control, however, which will be painful, but probably good. Definitely good for me. Number two, I'm going to search out a mason jar salad recipe and make a batch this week. I'm very excited about that. What about you? I'd love to hear how you're planning to struggle well this week. Find me on Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter at MomStrugglingWell and use the hashtag MomStrugglingWell to show us how you're rocking this mom thing. I want to connect with you soon, and I hope you have a great week of struggling well.